This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Halberstadt, Lelu Nishmas Rabbi Yehuda Menachem ben Reb Aaron Yosef HaKohen Halberstadt, on the first Yahrzeit of Rabbi Alex Halberstadt. Chof Hei Elul, 28th of September, Rabbi Pesach Kron, making Tevila special, connections on many levels.
Great schus to have been invited once again to one of the greatest Torah organizations in the world, Torah Way. I must tell you that I was so impressed when I first heard about this wonderful organization. We actually had some people from England that came to America, and we went with some people in Agudas Yisrael. Somehow we were not able to get it started in New York, but it's just so wonderful. I welcome all those that are driving in the car. I welcome those that will watch on Kol HaLoshon. And I'd like to thank Ruth Collins, who's makes the most gorgeous posters. I get them every single week just to see how. Which is Zekeli Van Veil. And of course, I'd like to thank my dear friend, Dudi Itzkowitz, for he's the one who always pushes me to come here. And of course, to thank Dov Harris and his dear father, who I just had the chance to meet. And Dov really is the one who brings me in for PAL, and I hope that all of you will be there tonight. It'll be just absolutely incredible. You know that there is something absolutely remarkable about the davening in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And I'm going to share with you something that will literally change the way you daven Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv, Musaf, a certain Lashon in the davening that will be just, you'll see in a moment, electrifying. There's one word that keeps on repeating itself many, many times throughout the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening. And the reason that this word is so unusual is because really it doesn't have a deep meaning. And if you would have taken the word out of the tefillah, you could say the tefillah anyway. And that word is uvechein. We say uvechein yiskadesh, uvechein ten pachtecha, uvechein ten kovid, uvechein tzadikim. What does it mean, uvechein? And in this way. Now, if let's say you didn't say uvechein, you could say Tashem. Tein pachtecha Hashem elokeinu al kol ma'asecha. Give your awe and fear on all of society. Tein kovod Hashem la'amecha. Give honor to your holy nation. Tzadikim yiru v'yismachu. What's the whole idea of uvechein? So I remember a number of years ago, I had this chus to take many, many yidden. We went to Spain, and when we were in Spain, we had with us a wonderful young man from Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rabbi Nachum Nissel. He's actually from England. He's born here. And he spoke many, many times. And he mentioned something fascinating. You know that every Yid, we all need heroes. We all need those people to look up to. And we follow them. That's why they're called stars. You look up to a star, so you look up to a person who is an incredible human being. And when we were in Spain, he spoke about those people. I'm going to use the term, you should never ever use this term, but I just want to show you what term people use and you're not supposed to use it, and that's Muranos. Murano, if you look it up in a dictionary, means a pig. It's a Spanish word for pig. And this was a very derogatory name that the Spanish people called the Jews who were in hiding. So we should never ever call them by that name. Either you call them anusim, which is a Hebrew word for those who were forced to hide the Yiddishkeit, or conversos. They, in a sense, converted, but they really were not converted. But that's the proper way to call them, the conversos. Now the question is, who did they look up to? Who, to them, was the hero? Who would you say was the greatest converso in the history of Klal Yisrael? And of course, it's Esther Hamalka, because Esther Hamalka was in the palace of Ahasuerus. Nobody knew who she was, and at night, hidden when nobody was there, she acted as the tzaddikas that she was. But Bapumbi, in public, she acted like the Persians. So all those conversos in Spain, they always looked up to her. She was the hero. Now, what happens in the Megillah? Many of us know the story that Mordechai gets wind that Haman is going to kill the Jews, and he says to Esther Amalka, you got to go into Achashverosh, and you got to tell him who you really are, because you got to save us. And she says, you can't just go into the king. I can't walk into the king. Anybody who walks into the king without permission could get killed. There's no way. And he says, listen, it's either now or never. You don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. You must go in and do it. So what does she say? Now watch this lashon. You will not believe it. Megillas Esther, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tzayin. Leich Kenois Eskola Yehudim, she says to Mordechai. Gather all the Yidden. Hanim Tzorim B'Shushan. V'tzumo Alai, I want you to fast. V'al Toichle V'al Tishu, you're not going to eat and drink. Shleishas Yomim Laila V'yayim. 3 days, day and night. Gamani, me also. I too. V'naroisai, Otzum Kain. We will do the same. And listen to the next word. Uvachain. She says, Uvachain, Ovoi Elamelech. And in that manner, I will come to the king. The Halakha of Vudram and many, everybody says that every time when it says the word Hamelech in the Megillah, it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what she is saying is, I am afraid to go into the king. When we come to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we are afraid to come into the king. We are afraid to come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We think back everything that happened this past year. And we think that maybe, who knows what could be the coming year. Who knows what could be the judgment. So we're afraid to come to the king. Just like Esther was afraid. That's why Zokta Hilga Abudram, we keep on saying, Uvachain, Uvachain Ten Pakto, Uvachain Yiskadesh, Uvachain Ten Kovet. It's Esther Hamalkos Uvachain. What's so great about Esther Hamalkos Uvachain? Because look what happens. Vayayim Allah HaMelech. The king says to her, Malacha Esther Hamalka. Malacha Shesech, whatever you want. Al Chatzi HaMalkos V'yinotzen Loch. I'll give you half the kingdom. So he answers. He gives her the Shavat Azov and he answers. So this Uvachain that she said got a tremendous response. And Klal Yisrael was saved. So tonight what I would say, before you go to sleep, take out your Machzer. And do what I did. Underline every time when it says Uvachain. So that when you're davening, whether it's Shacharis, Mincha, Musaf, Ma'ariv, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you're thinking of Esther Amalka Uvachain. And just like Uvachain, when she said it, she was terrified to go into the king, but the result was great. That's, Miss Hashem, what should be with us as well. We say Uvachain because we're afraid to come to the Day of Judgment, but also we hope that Miss Hashem, just like she got Al-Chatzi Amalchus, that we would get everything that Hashem could possibly give us in Yeshua's and the Chomais and the upcoming year. We know that Chazal teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liba Boy, the Eibishter wants heart. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuvavam Beis. Now, Zot Rashi, Rachmana Liba Boy, the Eibishter, the compassionate one, wants heart. What is Liba? What does that mean, that Hashem wants heart? So the Gemara in Tainas, the Beis of an Aleph tells us, Ezehi Avoyde Shebelev, which is the service of the heart, have Oymez Tefillah. Now, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing because Chazal teach us there are four things that need constant chizuk. And you know what daf it's on? It's on daf leiv. It's amazing. Lamed beis, amed beis. And the Gemara tells us four things you have to constantly work on. One of them is tefillah. Why? You know why? I will never forget at the first huge Siyam HaShas that we had in New York, not the one that they had MetLife, the most recent one where they had 100,000 people, but this was in Madison Square Garden, there was about 20,000 people there. And I'll never forget what Rabbi Elia Svei, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Philadelphia said. And he got it from Rabbi Aaron. He was quoting Rabbi Aaron Kotler. He said like this, that when you learn Torah, no matter what you're learning, Gemara, Chumash, Tanakh, Musar, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to you. He's telling you what he wants from you. He's telling it to you through the words of the Rebbe, through the words of the Sefer. But when you talk, when you daven, you're talking to Hashem. You're telling Hashem what you want from Him. So when we're learning, Hashem is talking to us. He's telling us what He wants from us. When we're davening, we're talking to Hashem. We're telling Hashem what we want from Him. So if that's the case, why is it that so many times our bodies are here and our minds are someplace else? And like Avshalom Shadron once said, he's about a fellow that was in the market and Yehuda, and the Beis Yehuda, what's it called? Machne Yehuda, right. The Machne Yehuda market. And somebody punched him, and he turned around and realized, oh, wait, that was himself. He was going Slachlonu. But like his mind was in Machne Yehuda, and when he, you know, clapped himself Slachlonu, he thought somebody hit him. It was really himself. He woke himself up. So why is that way? And I think that the answer is because if you do anything 1,000 times a year, I don't care what you do 1,000 times a year, including eating ice cream, after a while, you know, it gets tiring. You lose the pizzazz, you lose the excitement. If you think about it, 365 days a year, times 3 times Shemoneh Esrei, at least 3 times, Shabbos 4 times, you know, you do something 1,000 times a year, you know, you're going to lose the excitement of it. So how do we regain that excitement? So I'll tell you something, a fascinating story that happened with the Satmar Rebbe. See, the Satmar Rebbe, besides everything else, had a great sense of humor. Now, I just want to show you what his sense of humor is. It has nothing to do with Tefillah, but just so that you get an idea, so you can appreciate this story. The Satmar Rebbe was once collecting for one of his meisters, and somebody gave him $47. So the Rebbe said to him, what's 47? Where'd you get that number? He said, no, Rebbe, 47 is begamatria, your name, Yoel. So he said, in Yiddish, in the Haim Fleck Mechrif in Yoelish. So you can be sure that guy paid another 310 for the Yud and the Shin. Right? On the spot. Right? If you're driving, keep your hands on the wheel. Okay. But anyway, so the Rebbe was a very light person besides being, you know, the ultimate genius. But he was once at a chasana, and somebody went over to him, a batchen. Now, you can't do this to every Rebbe, but to the Satmar Rebbe, he felt he could. He said, can I imitate you? Now, the Rebbe, he wouldn't do it in front of the Rebbe unless the Rebbe gave the permission. Can I imitate you? Can I nochmachen? Right, nochmachen. Right. Okay? So, the Rebbe said, yeah. So, this guy took out from his bag of tricks, he took out a talus, he put it over his head, and he started davening just like the Rebbe, the way the Rebbe shook, and with an accent and with a high-pitched voice. Everyone was hysterical. The imitation was exact. Everyone was hysterical except the Rebbe. The Rebbe stared at this fellow. He could not believe it. His mouth dropped open, and he started crying. And when he was crying, so in the beginning, the Batchan didn't realize because he was watching everyone, you know, the shtick, and everybody was laughing. But then he sees the Rebbe sitting right in front of him crying, and he stops right away, and he goes over and shoulder the Rebbe. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to make the Rebbe cry. Listen, the Rebbe said, no, it has nothing to do with you. Now, the Rebbe made a comment that is so deep and so ingenious, and listen to what the Heilige Satmar Rebbe said. He said, I saw how you were imitating me. It was so perfect. It was so exact that as I was watching you, it occurred to me that sometimes I'm only imitating myself. Now, you know what that means? That means that sometimes we come to shul, and unfortunately, there's so much in our minds, health, family, children, shidduchim, finances, there's so much going on. But you can't just come to shul and just stand around like this, right? So what do? So you shake, and you say the words, and you turn the pages, but you're just going through the motions. You're just imitating yourself. We know many times you're really into the tefillah. But it's a machzach that never, because there's so much in our heads, and life is so stressed, that we're just going through the motions. So if the Heilige Satmar Rebbe could be moida, that at times he's only going through the motions, what in the world should we say about ourselves? How are we going to improve this? So I'll tell you something very interesting. I want to tell you a story because I believe that part of tefillah is even before you come to the Beis HaKnesses. What's your attitude when you come to the shul? So, you know, I once heard, somebody once told me that the Bava of a Rebbe said this. I don't know if he said it or not, but it's adorable. It's worth saying over. And he said that in the morning when your alarm clock gets, you know, goes on, so that you should come to shul on time, that's the kol kol yakov. But when you put your hand on the snooze alarm so you should sleep another 20 minutes, that's the Yadayim Yedei Esav. So, I don't know if the Rebbe said it, but it's great anyway. But, you know, Chazal teach us something very interesting. In Brochus, Mem Zayin, Amud Beis, La'olam Yashkim, Odom La'Beis HaKnesses, Kedei Sheyizkeh V'Yimne, in Maser Rishayinu. It's very important that you should try to be among the first 10. Because we know that any place where you can get together, so that Hashem is there, I'm going to bless you no matter where you are. But the point is that the first 10 who come to a place, they bring the level of Shekhinah, And they get a reward of everybody davening with a minion. They get that reward plus their own reward. Of course, everybody gets schar for davening with a minion. But those first 10, they get a double reward. So I want to share with you a story that has literally changed hundreds of people. And when I met the fellow to whom the story happened, I hugged him. And I said, you can't imagine what kind of schus you have that you went through this thing. He said, but you know that you can never say my name and you can never say my city, where I come from, because I'm just so embarrassed. I said, I've recognized that and I've never told what city you come from, even what type of job you have. So let's just make up that this was a story that happened in Chicago in a furniture store. But it didn't happen in Chicago and it didn't happen in a furniture store. But listen to a great story about a furniture store in Milwaukee, in Chicago. No, it's not Milwaukee. I usually say Milwaukee, but I figured you guys are not going to know what Milwaukee is. So I figured Chicago. Mr. Nemeth, you know Milwaukee. But most people don't know Milwaukee, right? So I was going to say Chicago. But anyway, so what happened was that this guy owned a furniture store. It comes in at 9 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, he thinks that he smells something that's suspicious. He smells fire. And he runs downstairs. He runs downstairs and sure enough, the basement is on fire. And he tries to take the fire extinguisher and to put out the fire. And he can't because the fire is too big. And he runs back upstairs and he calls the fire department. And he's yelling and he's screaming, please come and save my store. Because now the curtains are burning and the desks and the furniture and all the wood, the chairs, tables, everything. Never, unfortunately, by the time they came, there was nothing they could do with that store. He told me when I met him that it took almost 9 months to rebuild that store. The only thing that they were able to do was they were able to hose down the store next to him, and they saved that store, the one next to him. Now, a few days after the fire, he comes to shul, and he says to a friend of mine, and that's how I first heard the story, he said, I want to tell you what happened to me, this guy who's telling, who had this furniture store. I want to tell you what happened a few days before the fire. A few days before the fire, I come into shul, and a guy comes over to me and he says, hey, listen, you know, every day you come to shul, but every day you come late. Why do you come late every single day? It's true, you do come, you never miss, but every day you come late. So I said to him, what's the difference? At the end, I come. He said, Hashem showed me. A few days later, the fire department, at the end, they also came. At the end, I come is not good enough. If davening starts at 7 o'clock, you've got to be there 10 to 7. Because if you first walk in at 7 o'clock, and they're already saying brochas, and they're saying karbonas, I mean, pardon the pun, but karbonas are being sacrificed. You know, because you're not saying karbonas. Now, I don't know what the minig here in London and in this shul is. But in my humble opinion, how could a yid go a day without saying karbon oila? Karbon oila is if a person has a bad machshava. Is there anybody who could say that he works in the workforce and sees everything that we see today and a person doesn't have an impure machshava? It's almost impossible. So you have to bring a carbon oila. How could you go a day without saying carbon oila? How could a yid go a day without saying a chadas or carbon osham? Aren't there averis that we do by mistake? Or averis that we knew that they were wrong but somehow it slipped through and we did it to sheikik? So you have to bring a korban chatas. I cannot understand how a yid could go through a day without saying korban chatas, oila, osham. But if you come late, you're not saying korbanas, who are we kidding? And you're skipping half of it. And besides everything else, the schus, if you would know the schus of saying keteres, you wouldn't miss keteres a day. You know what the Zohar HaKadosh says? He says it's a guarantee. If you take a look at the Zohar and Parshas Vayakhel, he says anybody who says keteres and has kavona, nothing wrong will happen to him that day. He says it's a guarantee. Take a look at the Zohar and Parshas Vayakhel. And I always wondered, what's so special about keteres? And you know why? I'm a big believer in underlining in your Siddur. And I'll tell you something about that in a second. But in my Siddur, I have the word chelbana underlined. You know why? Because that's what keteres is all about. Including that chelbana that's foul smelling. And that shows us that every yid is important. Even the yid that's not as firm as you are. We have to love every yid. That's what the keteres is all about. That's what the Zohar is saying. You have kavana by keteres, lefi ani hasdati, the pshat is that you're all inclusive. That you care about all yidden. And I want to tell you something. This is what I do. When you go to shul, don't just take a siddur off the shelf. Use your own siddur. You know why? Because I underline many things in my siddur if I hear a good pshat, if I think of something. Because then every day this siddur is talking to me. I'll give you a small example. to me, this is one of the greatest things in davening. And we say it every day in the Halalukos. Haroife l'shvurei leiv. That is, the Eibishter is defined as the one who heals the brokenhearted. How many in this Heilige Beis Medrash, how many on the road, how many that are listening, Kol HaLashon, whatever, are brokenhearted today? There's so many problems going on. And the Eibishter is Haroife l'shvurei leiv. What an unbelievable compliment. Now, what are the first letters in these three words? Haroife l'shvurei leiv. Hey, Lamed Lamed, Halel. That's amazing. That's praise. That's the greatest praise that you could say on a person. Just this morning when we were saying Slichas, I noticed that the Eibishter was called Hamahulal. And I was thinking, Hamahulal, I underlined it in my Slichas just this morning, Yom Revi. Hamahulal, that's Hulal, that's Haroifei L'shvurei Leiv. If anybody has that capacity to heal a broken heart, that's the Midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when you take a sitter off the shelf, either you're going to see it or you're not going to see it. But if you have your own sitter and you underlined it, you're going to see that. That's going to talk to you every single morning. And there's so many pshatim that you hear throughout life. I tell you, it's just amazing to me. I have a dear friend, Simcha Lefkowitz. I'm only saying this so it should be a chizuk for people, that if it's any person that's listening or any person that you could give this chizuk. To make a very long story short, he was in my Pirchei group when we were growing up. The first Masechta Simcha Lefkowitz ever finished was in my Pirchei group. We learned Masechta Megillah together with a whole group of fellows. Nebuch, when he was 52, he had a terrible, terrible stroke. He had such a severe stroke, the doctor still to this day cannot define it. He lost his power of speech, his power of movement, everything. Slowly but surely. He's a Rav in a shul, Talmud Chacham. Slowly but surely his speech came back and his mind came back perfect. And he's still the Rav of the shul, but he's in a wheelchair. And right now, Shadav Rafua Shlemus, it's getting less and less mobile. And right now he's taking certain rehabilitation in the Kessler unit, which is in New Jersey. It's a world-known place for rehabilitation. So recently he spoke someplace. And he said an amazing thing. That when he was in a wheelchair already for a while, Rav Nochum Dessler from Cleveland called him. Rav Nochum Dessler was Rav Eliyahu Dessler's son. And he said to him that he once heard in the name of the Chofetz Chaim a pshat hameichin mitzadei gover. Now we all know what does hameichin mitzadei gover means, that Hashem sets the paths of people, the footsteps of man. If you have to be in a certain place, somehow Hashem's going to get you there. Somehow Hashem's going to make it that somebody else is going to be there, that's the one that you're supposed to meet, and somehow you got there and you met the person. That's a simple meaning. He said, you know what the Chofetz Chaim once said? The Chofetz Chaim said that when a person is born, Hashem gives him a certain amount of steps for life. And then when he finishes taking those amount of steps, then life is over. He said, but what happens if Hashem likes this person and wants to lengthen his life, and he's about to finish the steps that he was allotted? So the Chofetz Chaim says Hashem makes him handicapped. And he puts him in a wheelchair. And he can't do those steps as quickly as he would have done it had he been walking on both legs. So Rav Simcha Lefkowitz said that when he got into the wheelchair and he was confined to the wheelchair, he was so despondent. But now looking back over the last 14 years that he's been in a wheelchair, he said, I've married off 5 of my children these years. I've had many, many new grandchildren. And I had 6 grandsons that had a bar mitzvah. And I began to realize that being in a wheelchair was the best thing that ever happened to me. That's hameichin mitzadei gover. That's unbelievable. What a pshat from the Chofetz Chaim. Hameichin mitzadei gover. You see somebody in a wheelchair, that's a brachim, you tell them this pshat. Or if somebody's confined to bed for a while, they have to understand that it's really, in a sense, a blessing. I was so distraught from this. I went to be Menachem Mobile shortly afterwards. And we just happened to be talking about Birchas HaShachar. And I said to people, I said to the brother and sister who was sitting Shiva, their mother was 95, she had just died. And I told them this thing, Hameichin mitzadei gover. They looked at each other, they started crying. I said, excuse me, did I say something? You know, I'm sorry. They said, no, you don't realize. Now we realize that Hashem blessed us and gave us our mother for another 15 years. When she was 80, she got into a wheelchair. According to the Chofetz Chaim, she should have died when she was 81 because she would have finished her steps. But she's been in a wheelchair for 15 years. And we had the advantage of having her alive for 15 years. That's unbelievable. I didn't think that it was a nichum. I was just telling them this pshat about Mechem Tzadikava. But getting back to it, No matter what you hear on tefillah, underline it. Underline uvechein. Underline haray fele shvurei lev. And that's how you make a connection to Hashem. That's why this topic is called connection. Because it's not only connection to Hashem, but it's a connection to each other. Did it ever occur to anyone here that the whole Shemoneh Esrei, the middle part of Shemoneh Esrei, when we ask for everything, is all Lashon Rabbim? V'chonenu, heal us. Give us wisdom. Rifa'enu, heal us. Borech aleinu, bless us with parnasa. Shema koleinu, re'enov anyenu. We're davening, we're thinking about ourselves. That's not what Chazal said. Chazal said we're all part of Klal Yisrael. And in this month of Elul, ani l'doidi v'doidi li taicha, literally. I am for my friend, and my friend is for me. There's not one Shemoneh Esrei should go by that. You don't daven for somebody else. And I would say, don't daven for 20, 35 people. Some people have a list, and they read off a list. It doesn't mean anything. Because your heart is not in it. You're just reading it like a roll call. It doesn't mean anything. But if you take two or three people that you know, and you daven refa'enu, and you cry out by Baruch Aleinu, that certain people that you know need parnosa, or Shema Kaleinu, you know people that need shidduchim. Last night I spoke at Stamford Hill. I almost cried. There's a wonderful organization called Yigdal. So they asked me, they said, these are girls post-seminary that are not yet married. So I figured, good, there'll be 20, 30 girls there. There were 75 girls there. I walked in, I couldn't even get into the place. It was unbelievable. So how could you not daven for somebody, all these girls? That's many of us who know them personally, daven for them. In Shema Kaleinu, you can daven in any language before Yetzer Shemei Atfila, or before Yil or Ratzai. So that's what connection is. That's why this talk is called connection, because it's not only connection between us and Hashem, it's connection between each other. That's what Elul is all about. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. And I bought a present for all of you, of which I could talk about this for an hour. But I want you to hear this. Because last year, a year and a half ago, when Naftali, Gilad, and Ayal were kidnapped, I was wondering, why did Hashem make it that for 18 days that nobody knew where they were? The Israeli detectives, they're unbelievable. They could do anything. In New York, there was a bombing. Within 48 hours, they found the guy. So what do you mean? The Israelis couldn't find these guys who killed those three innocent Bnei Torah? But I remember I was in the Erika Shul in Zurich during those 18 days. And I remember Friday night before Kabbalah Shabbos, the Gabbai got up and he said, now we're going to daven for those three boys. This was in the Erika Shul. I'm telling you, I don't know if you've ever been there. Every single guy, either a strimal upturned hat, a gartel, a bekesh, I was the only one who looked like me. I'm telling you. And they started saying Tillim. I'm telling you, I cried. I just cried. And the reason that I cried, because I thought to myself, if these guys would have seen those three boys with the kippah shul gold going to those yeshivas that these chassidim never go to and living in areas where they would never live, they probably wouldn't even say hello to them. But now that they were ba'ei tzara, they were davening as if it was their own brothers and sisters. It was incredible. And that's why I believe the Eibishter made it, that for 18 days we didn't know. You know why? Because Hashem created an achdus that was unheard of in Klal Yisrael in 100 years. That's why when Hamas afterwards, when the war started, and there were thousands of rockets, mathematically it makes no sense. How could not one rocket explode a shul? How could not one rocket hit an apartment building and explode it? Not one rocket out of thousands. You know why? Because the Eibishter said, this is achdus. And if this is achdus, I'm going to protect all of you. And then at the end, you won't believe, when they found Nebuch, that they were killed. So, I know somebody who went to be Menachem Avil, Mrs. Frankel, Naftali's mother. And she said something that only a Heilig of Bas Yisrael could say. Even when I tell it off, I still can't believe she said it. She said, at the end, I had a partial Nechama. And like people will look at, what kind of partial Nechama? She lost a child, is there anything worse? And she said, my son Naftali, he loved to do mitzvahs. And the mitzvah that he loved to do more than any other mitzvah was the mitzvah of tefillin. And I knew that there was no way those terrorists were going to let him wear the tefillin during those 18 days. And listen to what she said. She said, but when I found out that he was killed the first day, I had a nechama. Why? I had a consolation. Because at least, because the mitzvah that he loved to do was tefillin, and at least he didn't have to go one day without wearing tefillin. Could you imagine a woman saying that? That was her nechama, that her son didn't have to go one day without wearing tefillin? That's unbelievable. And when I heard that, I felt every single man, no matter where they are in this world, we must make a tikkun when we're wearing tefillin. And not to talk during tefillah and shut your cell phones. It's not good enough that it's on vibrate. Because you know very well that when your phone is on vibrate and you feel it, you're going to take a look to see who it is. And me and two others, we made up a slogan, disconnect to reconnect. Disconnect your phone. It's not a question of just give vibrate. It's not enough. And wherever I went, I was talking about disconnect to reconnect. And then I spoke once, Shiva Sabatamas, and a kid, a young fellow, a graphic artist, made a beautiful label for me. I'm going to bring it out over here. Everybody's going to be able to take one. Take as many as you want. Put it on your sitter. Put it on your shtender. And I say for the women as well, when they daven at home, take this label, disconnect to reconnect. You can fold it and paste it. And then I'll tell you something that's absolutely shocking. You won't believe. So I said it so many times, and a guy, a Rebbe in Darkei Torah in New York, Rabbi Yaron Halbertal, he says to me, Rabbi Krohn, don't you realize? I said, what? He said, the words, the letters of the name Naphtali is the Oisiyos Tefillin. Nun, Pei, Tof, Lamed, Yud, Tof, Pei, Lamed, Yud, Nun. I almost fainted. Wow. Could you believe that? It's unbelievable. You get the chills when you hear that. It's unbelievable. As a Moel, I can tell you, Chazal say, Shemo Gorim, your name has an influence. So here, I guarantee you, when Mrs. Frankel and her husband, Zalzain Gesund, when they had the bris for their son Naphtali, they were not thinking that this kid, his mitzvah, was going to be tefillin. But your name has an influence. So I just want to end on a light note, because we can't end on this, it's too sad. But everybody, please, take your label. And anybody who's listening on Kol HaLashon, wherever you are in the world, you're driving on the highway, everywhere, you could call me. And just email me, kronmoil@brisquest.com, kronmoil@brisquest.com, I'll send you, there's no charge whatsoever. We've made thousands of these. Fella Dovi Waxel paid for them, a guy from New York, he has a sister, Dini Groscott, in Stamford Hill. But just to end on a light note about Shemo Gorim, everybody knows that my first name is Pesach. And during, when you learn the Haggadah, you realize that Pesach is actually a combination of two words. Peh, soch, a mouth that speaks. My middle name is Yosef, which means a lot. That's why I don't stop. So I guarantee you, when my parents named me after my mother's father, they were not thinking about my becoming a speaker. But, you know, Shmo Gorim. So I just want to thank all of you for coming, and I want to invite all of you to Kinlas tonight, and I'll continue. Pesach, you're safe. You should have a good year, I get benched you. Great to see you. Have a good year. Hey, you're a great listener.